This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 59th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 25th of July, 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
Now, usually at this part of the show, we have a little joke, but this week we received a very heartfelt email, which I'd like to share with you. It says, "Dear Robin, where the hell is Parviz? Love, Meredith." Well, Meredith, wherever there's a child laughing or a dog barking, wherever there's a ball game with people cheering or a ballerina dancing, there's Parviz. Wherever a couple needs counseling, or a homeless man needs a kick in the pants to get going, wherever there's a lock that needs picking, or a nose, or some toes, there's Parviz. Wherever the sun is shining and birds are singing, wherever there's a hooker who needs change for a 50, wherever there's a car that needs parking or a penis washing, wherever there's a lamb that needs to be led to the slaughter, there's Parviz. And wherever there's a tear that needs drying or a shoulder for leaning, or wherever there's a white powder being dumped into the ventilation system of an aircraft, or an American citizen being stripped naked and hosed down with chemicals on a hot runway, wherever there's a friend in need, there you'll find a friend indeed. For there you'll find Parviz. But not here. Every week that fucker...
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easter, my friends, Son of Easter, and welcome. You've managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 59th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 20th of July, 2007. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you with us today for what is going to be a great, outstanding show. Big, big show today. Big, big show. Very excited. First of all, we're going to be hearing from our very own Sean Meehan. Sean is down at Comic-Con, which has now turned out to be a big-time, big-deal thing down in San Diego every year. And Sean is down there, so we'll be talking to Sean, live report from Comic-Con, which I think opens tonight. We'll also be checking in with a full report on this week's going-ons in the world of pop culture, entertainment, and, of course, television with Jason Nathanson. And in our second hour, we're very, very lucky. We're going to be having a special guest. This fellow is a classic comedian, one of these classic late-night television comedians. His name is Bobby Kelton. Bobby did The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, I think, 22 times, along with just about every other talk show that you can imagine, and has recently written a book and was just quoted about comics sort of taking each other's jokes in the LA Times the other day. And Bobby is a friend of Jan's, and Jan had offered Bobby as a potential guest for us back at the beginning of the year. And I called Bobby the other day, and I said, would you like to be a guest on the show? Would you mind? He said, I'd love to. So we're going to have Bobby Kelton coming up at the bottom of the second hour today. So something to look forward to, plus assorted stuff and nonsense. But before we go any further, let us say Son of Easter to my regular second-in-command here the last couple of weeks, the lovely and talented Sherry Stevens. Son of Easter.
Son of Easter, Robin.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
You look nice today. You're very springy.
Thank you.
I like that top.
I love this top.
It's cute.
A little low cut, though.
Is that bad?
Not for most people.
Okay.
People stare?
Do they stare, really?
Yeah.
At the cleavage?
Yeah.
At the
Dale, wouldn't you? I stare at cleavage, you know? How can you not? I just look at my own cleavage.
We need to get you a man. And back by popular demand, ladies and gentlemen, in the his house, we love him, we've missed him, Mr. Parviz Pachali.
The popular part of that demand was one person?
Meredith.
Meredith. Thank you, Meredith.
Did you like your...
That was very funny.
Your little...
Little...
Nicely done.
It was like Incredible Hulk music, and I felt like I should have been walking away with the stick and clothes. You know, you have a clothes at the end of your stick, and you walk away with it?
A bindle. It's called a bindle.
Sure, that too.
It's called a bindle.
It's a hobo bag.
Hobo
bag on a stick.
It's called a bindle.
Whatever we call it, it's clothes on a stick.
Clothes. Not to be confused with hot dogs on a stick.
Exactly.
Or, of course, Jesus on a stick. Ask yes. for my name.
A big stick. Wait, let's not go there.
What are you? Are you writing that down? Are you going to report me?
No, I just thought of a stupid joke I want to share.
Well, hopefully you have more than that to share.
Yeah, I do.
You excited?
Yeah. Okay. How long has it been? Like
8 weeks?
Easily a month and a half.
Yeah, it has.
Easily
been.
A month and a half.
It was in May when I was here.
And you're supposed to be here last week. And you blew us off like 20 minutes before the show
because I had to learn about something very important I'll share later.
All right, good. So we're looking forward to that.
Good.
We all missed you. You know who
Thank
missed you?
You?
Kip Adada missed you. Michael Zwirling missed you.
Stroke or unload.
The vice president missed you. Harry Whittington missed you.
He missed me and got Harry Whittington.
Whitney. Well, let me check. Did you? Oh, yeah, you're right. Whitney. Kenneth very much missed you.
Home networking.
Samuel L. Jackson missed you.
English motherfucker, do you speak it?
Ali Walla missed you. Jerry Seinfeld.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Not so much. And of course.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
And your good buddy.
I'm Brian Cox.
And I noticed something when editing last week's show. You know, we have this other soundbite from Ali Waller.
No.
But I also now have this one from Ken Turetsky.
No.
And I think the fact that they're both Jewish may have something to do with that.
No.
I smell so many ringtones.
No.
I need to do something about that. So we'll have to deal with that.
Really quickly, ringtones?
Yeah.
Okay, ringtones. Really.
Yeah.
I just heard a ringtone 2 days ago. I thought it was hilarious. The phone rang went, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. Isn't that funny?
Uh-huh.
Is it more funny than no?
Not really. But it's kind of funny. It's like just blah, blah, blah. That was hilarious. I was impressed.
Did you ever break up with a boyfriend and then after you're apart for a while, you get back together again because you just like you miss him so much? And then like the moment you get back together, there's this kind of, you know, buyer's remorse. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't.
No?
I don't reckon. Well,
you don't
but I know what you mean. I know what
you
mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I bet you. You ever feel that way?
Never.
Never. All right. We missed you so much.
Come on now.
We missed you so much.
I've been listening.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
Have you been listening?
Yes,
no
I have
energy.
Been listening. What I've realized, for example, the one of the past episodes, I think it was a KSEO episode. If I was on that show, it would have come straight down to the toilet. It was very
a lot faster.
Huh?
We probably would have gotten tossed off the air.
If I was on the show?
We were close to it already.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Oh, I think so.
Well, they weren't happy with us.
No.
I told you before the show, I haven't shared this here. They archived the KSCO Satellite Special, so you can go over to KSCO.com and then get a recording of those anytime, but not ours. In fact, not either of the shows that I've been on this year.
Oh.
Either the show that I did with Michael earlier in the year,
right.
And then the show that we did is the Schnauzer Logic Does Saturday Special. Neither one of those is available. They're gone. Of course, they're available on our archives.
Right.
Oh, I meant to tell people. We have now, I think I put this on the blog, we've run out of space on the .max server for old episodes of the podcast. There's only like 4 gigabytes worth of space. That's the maximum amount that you can buy from Apple. So what that means is every time I post a new episode, I have to dump an old episode.
Oh, they're not mine, are they?
Well, it's really hard to tell.
Okay.
Well, you were there from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You weaseled your way into this thing.
No, I did not.
This was going to be the Sean in... okay, fine. So,
as a matter of fact, I believe Sherry, this
did
is
you
one
just
year
touch
for
her? Did you just push her in the arm?
No, I gently...
He gently tapped me on the arm.
You've been here 1 year, is that correct?
It's been even over a year.
Yeah, because last summer we were suffering
the reason
together.
I'm here is that I have a really, you know, mellow personality to calm things down, right? So I'm here to balance you out.
Really?
And when you're not here,
then I'm just
plain quiet. So it doesn't work. I need to.
I'm usually here just to dumb the show down, aren't I?
You're kind of like carbon monoxide.
Wow, that was a long pause.
It's kind of like pumping a little carbon monoxide into the studio.
Right.
Not a lethal amount.
And you don't feel it, and you don't smell it.
Exactly.
But you know it's going to kill you.
It's the opposite of what they do. It's the opposite of what they
You're
do in casinos.
Me.
In casinos, they pump in oxygen.
Right.
Anyhow, so the point is, I knew there was a reason that I missed you. The point is... So if you're looking for some original episodes, right now I think episodes 1, 2, and 3 are gone from the server.
All right.
I still have them on the here. I have them available here. And they will continue to be in rotation on the archive that runs constantly on Shoutcast. So those shows just run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They just keep spinning around. But if you need an old show, if you're a new listener, and you want the complete set of commemorative plates... You know, what you need to do is just drop me an email. And what I'll be able to do is I'll be able to put what episode you're missing on the server, and I'll give you a link where for like a day or two you can download it. So I've got some private storage space, and I can put this up there. But the alternative is to move all of the shows to someplace else. And right now, sort of if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
How about the Hall of Fame? Baseball. You want to move it there?
All right.
Well, I'm just a little rusty.
I almost bought a car today.
You did? Yes, an Acura TSX. Did you see it? The guy brought it in?
I went and visited it, and I took it for a drive, and it was gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful car.
Yeah.
Drove. I mean, there was nothing wrong with this car. It's
better not be brand new.
That it was $27,000.
Had like 8,800 miles on it, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, brand new, 2007.
Stolen?
No.
Hot?
No, it's not.
Hot Wheels?
Did you wear that top when you went to go check out the
car?
I did,
and he really wanted to sell it to me.
Oh,
I'll bet he did.
Nice.
Can you make that noise? Oh, very good.
Very good.
Well, excellent. That,
but, you know, I just felt so uncomfortable driving my own car back, which I love, and... I realize I don't want a new car. I love my car. I just want to wash it. I don't want a new car.
That's usually
you get quite a wash for $27,000.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's hard for me to spend $27,000 on a new car.
I think you can get Siegfried and Roy's Tigers to actually lick it clean for $27,000.
Yes.
I think you could actually get Siegfried and Roy to lick it clean.
Hey, is Siegfried or Roy okay? Whatever happened to them?
Well, one of them got mauled by a tiger.
I know, but did he die?
That just happened.
Last time
I was here, I believe that was the latest news.
Really?
Yep, Siegfried and Roy.
Tammy Faye Baker, how's she doing?
Oh, wow. I hear she was down to 60 pounds or 65 pounds before she passed.
Oh.
Yeah. It was all mascara.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
That was a good one. I like that.
Can I tell my goofy joke before we get all serious?
You got a minute.
Okay, here it is. Guy walks into a bar. The bar is completely empty. And he asks for a beer. The bartender gives some beer. The bartender's at the...
Bar was completely empty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was the only one in the bar. So he's drinking his beer. The bartender's at the other end of the bar, okay? All of a sudden, the guy drinking the beer hears, "Hey, that's a really nice shirt." And he's looking around at this empty bar, and he's like, "Who just said that?" And he ignores it. A couple minutes later, he hears, "You have the most beautiful eyes." And he's looking around the bar, and he just sees absolutely nothing. A few moments later, he hears, "That is a beautiful pair of pants." And he's looking around the bar, still nothing. He's losing his mind. He calls the bartender. He's like, come here. I'm hearing voices. Where are these voices coming from? The bartender says, "Oh, those are the peanuts. They're complimentary."
You know what?
Like
that one. That's all right.
You redeemed yourself.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Parvis.
You can stay for the whole show.
Woo! He's in the house.
I kept it PG.
Yes, you did. You did. In fact, I think I'm the one who used washing penis in my...
Yes, you did.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, this is another week. We're commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love. So all the songs today will again be from the Summer of Love. And you had a little, he's counting on his fingers.
I was, because I'm like 67.
How many fingers do you have?
I'm like, wow, that is 40 years. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, because to go from 2007 to 67.
Right.
What part of that was hard?
Well, the six, I know is the sixth number of 10, so I'm thinking there's 40. I was way confused.
All right, so we're going to play tunes here. So what we'll do is we'll take our first break.
Uh-huh.
Tunage from the Summer of Love. A little Procol Harum for you?
I love it. Oh, yeah. Absolutely love it.
All right,
I'll
play a little Procol Harum, and then we'll come back. We'll be talking with Sean Meehan.
One of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Of all time.
All right.
It's such a sad song. It's beautiful.
You know which one it is?
Yeah.
How many songs did they have?
Oh, I have no idea. This is the only one that I know. I love it. Absolutely love it. Just play it. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to close my eyes and light a candle.
No, I please. But just not necessarily in that order.
And don't go through my wallet, please.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Parviz Vitali back in the house. Sherry Stevens, when we come back, we'll be with Sean Meehan. So stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Thank you.
Schnauzer Logic.
Summer of Love.
This has been your orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. We're 20 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We're starting to rack up our friends there again. As we get more and more people listening to the show each week, you can head over to MySpace and become one of our MySpace buddies. I'm not sure that you get anything special for that, but it's nice to have the numbers. We're also on youtube.com/schnauzerlogic. Of course, we're on the iTunes Music Store. You know, we haven't gotten any new reviews from people in a long time. We're sort of stuck at 9 positive reviews. Be nice to have some additional reviews. So if you want to go over to the YouTube Music Store,
it's time to make some up.
iTunes Music Store. Well, do you have an iTunes account?
I do not.
Well, maybe now's the time to get one.
All right.
And then make up a review.
All right.
And then area code 206-666-6540. Welcome back, Sona Vista to Parvis Vitali.
Sona Vista, Robin.
And welcome back, Sona Vista, to Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista.
And, sorry, I missed that. That song was 4 minutes.
I know.
4 minutes.
No phlegm whatsoever.
6 seconds long.
No phlegm
now,
whatsoever.
In all the weeks he's been gone, has anyone had that problem?
No.
Turetsky, maybe, but he's got that ear, nose, and throat thing.
He's got
By the way, I found a Jewish ENT for Ken Turetsky.
You know, I was listening to that the other day. I know some people in like Midland and other areas, but not in Dallas.
I found a Jewish ENT. It was Dr. Moses Nazelman, I think.
That's not a real name.
Well,
Nazelman.
It's Moses Nazelman. He's either an ENT or he's an NBA player. I'm not sure. Nazelman may be the his slave owner's name. I don't know which.
Yeah, and I'm the racist one.
Help me out here, Sean.
He's got a fallaway jumper.
Hey, Sean.
Sona Vista, hey. Sean Meehan, down in San Diego at the Comic-Con 2007.
I am here in beautiful San Diego, and it is beautiful. It's. I was told that I was going to be coming into a furnace by some friends who live here, but quite temperate and mild, a very beautiful day, and I am here at Comic-Con. And right now, even as we speak, the doors are about to be thrown open to the exhibition hall,
wow,
where literally thousands and thousands of exhibitors are ready to sell them their stuff.
Now,
and so there's a palpable sense of excitement.
Now, for people who are outside the United States or for those who were inside the United States and actually have a life,
I would be careful because most people in the United States are here.
Well, what is Comic-Con?
Comic-Con is, I don't know exactly how to describe it.
Well, that's a good start.
well, because quite frankly, it's a broad kind of an event. It started, I think, about 3 or 4 decades ago, basically as an assembly of old-time sort of science fiction writers of the golden and silver age and early comic book people, the sort of Jack Kirby era of, the original Marvel kind of crowd and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. the Hulk and Fantastic Four and that sort of thing, Captain America. And it was very small at the time, you know, you could count the number of attendees in the hundreds. And somehow over the years, over these last few decades, it's come to encompass all aspects of pop culture. There are movies that are exhibited here. There are television programs that come here. Certainly everything from the Science Fiction Channel, and I'm sure there's a big pavilion from ABC and NBC. There are video game people. There are, of course, there are traditional comics and the writers and illustrators and what have you, but they represent really the minority here now. It's just sort of media. There are just sort of pop culture painters and all kinds of odd things. It's grown into something that's difficult to describe, but
and
essentially,
there are
it's where people who like fantastic fiction in all its incarnations sort of come.
Now, I know that they have an exhibition hall where, you know, people display their wares, so to speak, but are there forums? Are there lectures? Can you get class credit for this?
To the best of my knowledge, well, I don't know. They're looking at transferability. But at the moment, sadly, no. Because a lot of these people would have PhDs, if that were true, and maybe MDs, and you wouldn't want to go to them. But there are. There are hundreds and hundreds of little colloquia and what have you where, you know, where the writing staff for Battlestar Galactica will tell you how to write episodic television, where people from the new Spider-Man film or Batman film or something will talk about the film. Last year, I saw Matt Groening and all the writers of The Simpsons talk about the upcoming Simpsons movie and saw some early clips of it. And that was at last year's show. Obviously, that film is about to hit theaters nationwide. But it's everything. It's just there are hundreds and hundreds of events. This is a very big convention center. And it has dozens and dozens of large ballrooms. So all kinds of events can be held simultaneously.
Is it bigger than the hull of a Class 5 destroyer battleship?
Our first or second season, because I think the dimensions changed.
I see. Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't really. I'm not familiar with the capacity of that class of battleship, but it's significant.
And what is the appeal to you? Because I consider. I mean, you're a healthy man. You're a healthy heterosexual male. You're married. You have outside interests. You have fairly decent hygiene, as far as I can tell.
But I do masturbate frequently, and I think that's what brought me down.
No tape on your glasses. I mean,
no Star Trek uniform in your closet.
Exactly. I mean, what is the appeal to someone like you?
You know, it was interesting because I asked myself that question when I was being talked into coming down here last year, and I thought I was basically going to come with a friend who had to drop out at the last second. But I'd already made my travel arrangements, so I came. And I felt like when I got here, how can I describe this? You know, we've all been in airports. We've all been in large pieces of civic architecture. You know, airports, train stations, things like that. And during the days here, there are 100,000 people in this convention center. And I think the thing that struck me the most was not any of the exhibits. It was being with 100,000 people packed in to this sort of big civic piece of architecture, and they're all loving it. This doesn't happen in a sports event. You know, there are angry people at sports events. And so even if you go to a stadium, you don't have that feeling that everybody's dream is coming true. We're all like Make-A-Wish kids here.
Why do I get the feeling? Hey, Sean, why do I get the feeling?
That's Parviz, by the way. That's Parviz. Say welcome back to Parviz. Parviz is back, Sean.
Welcome back, because you were missed, my friend.
All right, thank you so much, Sean. But
did you have a question?
Me.
Did you have a question for Sean?
Why do I get the feeling?
Did you have a question for Sean?
My grandma's good.
Sean, I mean, yeah, Sean. Why do I get the feeling that there's a sign at the door written on with crayon saying no girls allowed? If a girl walked in there, would she be like? Would people freak? Are there just nothing but guys there?
Yeah. People would freak.
Yeah, exactly.
But for not because no girls are allowed. I mean, I think that it's self-censoring, the girl component. Actually, I've noticed a lot of more women here this year than last year. You know, women...
They're there to pick them up. We got to go home. Let's go.
They're moms.
These are moms.
Moms and wives.
Picking them up. Let's go.
Oh, come on. Just another half hour.
I've only been here 12. Just another half hour.
There could be plenty of that going on. You know.
Yeah. Not trying to defend it, huh?
Well, you know, I was walking to this place from my car. And as you walk to the San Diego Convention Center, you have to go through the gas lamp district, where there are a lot of nice restaurants and people dining al fresco. And, of course, there are these gorgeous young Southern California women out in front at podiums, ready to, you know, to seat people and to take them, to take their seating order and what have you. And they all smile at me, and then I show them the badge. And I just turn around and I just show them the badge, and they look away.
It's like the Scarlet Letter.
It is. It is. I am the Hester Prynne. I am the Hester Prynne of the area now. Actually, and with 100,000 of, you know, other shameful people who apparently did the wrong thing with the pious Reverend Dimmesdale. But...
That's a reference that'll make sense to everyone who doesn't live in the United States. But for those who have U.S. educations... Well, so how long are you down there for?
I am going to do the whole thing. The really interesting part for me is going to be... I'm staying with a friend right now who has a great suite over at the Westin and just blocks from the convention center. It's just beautiful. But on Friday night, I go to my place, which is down in Tijuana. Now, I have that place reserved tonight and tomorrow, but my wife and everyone begged me, don't go down there. Like, you know, like it's outside the green zone or something. I said, I've been to Tijuana a bunch of times. Don't worry about it. No, no, just stay in the United States.
What?
So, but then on Friday, I have to go down. It looks like an incredible hacienda. It looks like the hacienda of Don Diego de la Vega. And I'm dressed in black, so it's the perfect fit of couture and vacation getaway. So I have to experience it.
Have you been to Tijuana before?
Yes.
She has the same look as everyone else you've talked to.
No, yeah. No, no. Of course it's a pit, but the chiclets are cheap. The oranges are plentiful. And...
I didn't
Melville
think you were
right
in that into that kind of thing. That's going to be your
home base for going to Comic-Con, or are you just going to...
Yeah.
Do you know how long a drive that is?
It's just a little short trip on the trolley. The trolley which runs right in front of the convention center.
Goes right into Tijuana?
Yeah. It's very short. I mean, if you actually try to drive back and forth across the border, it can be a long time because obviously there's a lot of traffic. But, yeah. No,
so,
it's very short. The border's like 20 miles from here.
I mean, I know that he likes chiclets, but... Yeah. All right, well, God bless you.
No kidding. I mean,
I'm helping. I am an ambassador of goodwill to our brothers to the south. Our brothers and sisters will experience an American who doesn't just repeat themselves louder when, you know, when he wants something.
Well, would you do us a favor?
Well, we have a look. On the face in the studio are like,
huh?
Really? He's gonna stay in Tijuana?
So will you do us a favor and get one of those pictures taken on a donkey with a big sombrero?
I don't think donkeys live in the area. I think
no,
the
they're all
lead
the Comic-Con
and MTBE from the gas has poisoned all the water wells down there. And
well,
I don't
we
know,
need
just,
some kind of, you
well,
know.
Well, I don't care about the picture of the donkey with the sombrero, but there's another picture of a donkey I'd like you to get. You know that thing with the one with the thing doing that other thing? You know,
I love that one.
I already have
some pictures of that.
I love picture of the donkey trying to go over the wall. That's a good picture. Thanks, Sean. You know what cracks me up? There's a trolley that'll go through a wall, but it's like they built this wall, but they'll stop it for the trolley, and they'll continue on to the other side of the tracks so the trolley can come in and out.
No, when you say trolley, do you mean like a light rail or a train?
Yeah, it's a light rail.
Okay.
It's a light rail that runs down to San Ysidro, which is, you know,
but
literally,
no motor.
It lets you off 100 feet. From the border.
Let's be honest. What he basically has is a crate that's being carried by 67 illegals, and they're going to basically just hoof it down there and hoof it back again. You have this kind of fast fantasy of being the head of a plantation, and it's going to make all
I
your
got
dreams come
such
through.
Such a deal. I get the exchange rate right now. It is so good. I thought I was going to have to settle for 40, and I was going to have kind of a bumpy ride. But
which of the symposia are you most excited about seeing?
I am not particularly, I'm not banking on anything, but Ray Harryhausen, who I saw last year.
Oh, very cool.
Master of dimensional animation, you know, the Jason and the Argonauts, all the Sinbad films.
Stop action?
Stop action. Just you know, a real hero of mine. I saw him last year. I'm going to see him again. He's got some new prints that he's going to sign and sell. I'm going to buy them. And
right
mostly,
to eBay. Okay.
Mostly, I'm just here to enjoy it. I'm just here to enjoy the fact that 100,000 sort of fellow geeks are, you know, in heaven.
That's what I'm here to do.
Didn't Eric Clapton write a song about that? Geeks in heaven.
It was tragic.
Maybe not. All right, my friend. Well, listen, we obviously wish you well. Are you going to be in the studio next week, or are you going to still be down there?
No, I will be in the studio.
Very good. We got an exciting... Unfortunately, you're going to miss Bobby Kelton this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got Bobby Kelton joining us at the bottom of the second hour today.
Oh, that's
Tonight's show
sweet.
22 times with Johnny Carson. Not a record, but pretty damn close.
Yeah, that's gotta get you in the running.
I mean, you got to figure anybody who's done the Tonight Show that many times clearly doesn't suck.
No.
But next week, J.K. Van Stratton.
I will be there for that. Well, thank goodness.
All right.
And you guys, it was great to hear all your voices. I haven't heard you for some time. And I love you all, and I'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye, Bye. Sean.
Travel
Bye,
safe. Don't drink the water.
Bye, Sean.
Don't touch the hookers. No, wait.
Stay away from those chiclets.
Stay away from the chiclets. Especially if the chiclets have penises.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tijuana?
Tijuana?
Is his mind?
I mean, I know it's close. I mean, Baja and all that, but I didn't think it was that close.
And it's disgusting. It's not that close, and it's disgusting.
Well, but he said there's a hacienda, so I'm sure the hacienda is not disgusting. What do you think he's going down for?
Hookers.
No, he's a happily married guy.
Well, that or he's training to become a Minuteman.
Oh, you mean to guard the border?
Right.
Okay. I thought just somebody who has sex really quickly. Come on now, you're going to use that, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm trying to go PG. You're borderline PG-13.
No, really, why is he going down there?
I have no idea.
Hookers,
I have no idea. But they have hookers in this country.
I know, but they're only like a dollar there.
I mean, I have no idea.
That's just crazy.
I have no idea what's going on. But he's admitted it on the air, so I don't think it's anything nefarious. It must be legitimate and on the up and up and all that stuff.
That's a good word, farious.
Nefarious.
Nice.
You like that?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Nefarious.
Nefarious.
Nice.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah.
Please.
It's not like he's going to be there nefarious. Right? Is that what you said?
No, right? But that
very
was a
close,
good
huh?
try. It's very close.
That's a good word, nefarious.
All right. I'm so glad you're happy.
Yeah.
All right. We'll play some more tunage here.
Can I get a Diet Coke?
Yes. Can you wait for us to take the break? We're actually still on the air.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll ask.
I understand the concepts are getting a little rusty after a while, but I mean, you see us sitting here with headphones on, right?
I got to say, can I use the restroom?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Wow. Wow.
I'm parched.
We love you.
Have you ever heard of that word?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
What song's coming up next?
How about a little Fifth Dimension? Maybe a little two for a little Fifth Dimension, a little Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
A little back-to-back Summer of Love, 40th anniversary, Schnauzer Logic, Summer of Love. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Cherry Stevens, Sean Meehan, not with us right now, but Parviz Vitali is.
In the house.
It's so good to have you back.
Thank you.
It is so good to have you back.
I hope you mean that.
You look good.
Of course. I told him you look good. I said I thought he lost weight.
No.
He just let the beard grow in a little bit more.
Letting the beard grow so it covers the double chin.
No double chin. No.
It works, doesn't it?
You look good.
On him, it looks good. On him, the extra chin looks good.
And you know what? I can't help but notice that, you know, you have a white
cleavage?
Shirt on. No, but... look how hairy his chest must be. We just don't know.
Because it's coming through the shirt.
No, it's not coming through the shirt, but it's dark. You know,
it is
white
actually.
Shirt.
Turn around a little bit. Because you, like on that side, you can see it's coming through the shirt.
Okay,
no, really.
I'll check it out later.
Lift your arm.
Yeah, there's a hole. There's a hole. You can see it's coming underneath the arm.
All right, that's enough.
There's a hole.
He really wants this.
Why did you wear a shirt with a hole to the studio?
It's hot.
Why didn't you not wear a nice shirt to the studio?
Oh, I did.
It's got a hole in it.
It's only there because
you have to do what I do, and that is, oh my God, that just happened.
Yeah. All right. We don't need either of those guys. Yeah, we can't hear you. It's amazing. It's like you're not here, Harry Potter. All right, we'll take a break. Play on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Cherry Stevens, and Parviz Vitali. All inviting you to please stick around.
Around. for more Schnauzer Logic.
Oh,
Here we go.
Welcome back. We're about 47 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com 206-666-6540 saying welcome back to Sherry Stevens.
Sonavista.
And welcome back to Parviz Fatale.
Sonavista.
How are ya?
Nice.
So you getting back into the rhythm here? What's the matter?
Nothing. Yeah, everything's
Why
great.
Why are you looking at the mic? What happened? Looks weird?
No.
Smells funny?
No.
Smells good? Smelled funny a little earlier.
Smells good. No, it did not.
It did. I caught
well,
a
you're the only
something.
One using that.
I know.
What do you smell?
I don't smell it anymore.
Cheese? Is it cheesy kind of smell?
No, it was like a breathy, bad smell.
Really? Oh.
But well, it went away.
Okay.
Febreze. It kills everything. I put it all over my body.
I don't know what that means. Anyhow. We've missed talking to this guy for a few weeks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's missed talking to you.
Oh, please. Bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills. Because you know who I am. With a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels in
the old Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the old Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
It never gets old. And we have missed him. It's been a while since he's been on with us live and in person. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say Sonavista to Jason Nathanson.
Sonavista, Robin.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
I just want to say that the cocaine was not mine.
Thank you, Lindsay. Oh my God! What an incredible train wreck that turned out to be.
I wonder if the alcohol in your system was hurt.
You know, we were talking the other day, and I said, you know, you got Lindsay Lohan, and you have Paris Hilton, and then you have
Britney Spears,
and I said the three of them are this constant train wreck. I said it's like NASCAR for gay people.
And I meant to steal that when I taped my KSCO thing, and I forgot.
Well, that's all right. You can use it next week. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, people know about, what's her name, Lindsay Lohan, because, of course, that, like, needs to be the top fucking story. And I guess there must be some place now where they teach you how to pose when you're having your mugshot taken. Because these chicks are looking pretty good. You know, they look pretty. They know where to put their hand.
They don't look like Hugh Grant when he had his mugshot.
No more Nick Nolte. It's no more James Brown.
No, yeah. Exactly.
She's looking pretty hot.
They're all looking pretty hot. And I think, you know, a girl looks cute, and then it's hard. You sort of feel a little sorry for her. But I'm sure you watch this thing. The spin machine for Lindsay Lohan went into, like, super double hyper overdrive within seconds. I mean, the first thing is, of course, that she immediately, like, checked into rehab.
Right. That wasn't true.
What wasn't true? She didn't check into rehab?
No, she didn't check into rehab. She was...
Whoa.
She was sequestered somewhere at a safe location. It wasn't rehab. It maybe have been her lawyer's house. It might have been her mom's house.
Next door to Dick Cheney.
Yeah. But maybe she's bunking up with Paris. I don't know. But she wasn't in rehab.
And then she said, of course, that the drugs weren't hers.
Which, I mean, that's got to be the stupidest thing possible. I mean, come on. You go in, you're in the police station, and they reach in your pockets, and they find a bag of coke. I mean, why is she holding it on her? With all her problems in the past, why would you even have coke on her? If her friends really gave it to her, you know, those are the meanest friends you could possibly have.
With all the problems she's had in the past and the fact that she has a suspended license, and after what recently happened to Paris Hilton after driving on a suspended license, why the fuck doesn't she have a driver?
Exactly. Well, I mean, we talked about that last time, and again, these people can afford to have drivers. I don't understand why they don't. Now, this was a kind of spur-of-the-moment chase thing that happened. So I don't know that you necessarily say to your driver, go chase my assistant's mom in that car, but I don't get it. And after the Paris Hilton thing, that was supposed to be a message being sent by
yes.
LA City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo that we will not take any of this lightly, and if this happens again to any of you, you know, you're all going to jail. I guess she didn't get the memo.
It's a wake-up call.
It should have been. The Paris Hilton thing should have been.
She slept through it.
In her defense, she was in rehab at the time, so maybe she wasn't watching all the coverage of Paris Hilton.
You know, I keep thinking I want to move down to Los Angeles and take out an ad on the back page of LA Weekly that says, "Are you young, rich, stupid? Do you like to drink? You know, I'll be your ride 24/7, wherever you are. In fact, I'll never go home. I'll just keep circling the clubs. I'll make a tour." So, in fact, we could have like a constellation of limousines for drunk, stupid heiresses that just constantly circles. You know, like there's like 5 or 6 hot places, right?
Yeah.
We could probably go to Perez Hilton and figure out where those places are. We could be sponsored by Perez Hilton. And basically, like at any moment, you just basically like a bat signal. Like what Commissioner Gordon had to be able to track down the Batman, you can basically shine this thing in the air. Basically, you pull out of a club, you send off a flare. We're there in a half a second. We'll track down your assistant's mother. We'll run to anyone you want. We'll take care of the crash into trees for you.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
I'm smelling winning sitcom here. Coming to NBC this fall.
That would be good.
Thank you. Well, that says a lot about you, I guess.
With all the crap that I watch. I mean.
So tell us about the crap you've been watching.
One of the new shows just debuted on FX Tuesday night, Damages with Glenn Close. And they've been really hyping the show a lot, commercials all over the place for it. And it was really good. Glenn Close had a guest spot on The Shield for the past year, and they said they wanted to keep her around because she did such a great job, and they gave her her own series. And she was excellent. And it's a good show. It's one of these new serialized dramas where, you know, there's a lot of mystery and intrigue going on, but they don't keep you in too much suspense. They actually give you, you know, little tidbits of what's going to happen, and they move the story along so you're not frustrated as a viewer, like with something like Lost, or even Sopranos got a little frustrating at the end. And again, Glenn Close just does a really good job. Rose Byrne is the main star, and she's been in a couple things, Troy, and I think a couple other movies. She's not a big star, but she's very, very hot and fun to watch. So I like the show. I recommend it. It's a good kind of summer replacement right now till fall TV starts getting back in swing. But that's only a month away. The new shows are going to debut in the middle to end of September, so we don't have that much longer to wait.
Okay, so somebody need to go put money in the meter? Somebody's watch just went beep. Is that you? It's got to be you, right?
It's 6 o'clock.
Oh, I have to go.
Okay.
It's
God
fast.
Damn.
These clocks are 5:58.
Yeah, it actually is 5:58.
Okay, good.
Is that one of those Casio watches with the...
Yes, yes, yes. Parviz has forgotten that he's actually in front of a microphone. He thinks he's just in front of some kind of large piece of foam.
Turned off my call waiting for you.
Well, God bless you for being a fucking radio professional.
Thank you.
I appreciate
that. Hey, Jason, you're such a kiss ass. Jason, what do you think about Drew Carey taking over Bob Barker?
You know, I think it's a good move.
He's taking over the program. I don't think he's actually taking over Bob Barker. Drew Carey.
Swallow him all.
The ghoul. You're thinking of The Matrix.
That's what I was thinking of. You think it's a good replacement?
Yeah, he's a comedian, and it's going to be funny. I mean, it's a good thing that they didn't tap another, you know, kind of game show host type person.
You think they'll have Mimi as a showcase girl?
Yeah, that would be great.
Come on, that's kind of funny. No? Nothing? Nothing?
No.
Well, Tammy Faye's dead, so I thought it'd be Mimi. Nothing? Hello? Anybody?
Yeah, pick on a 65-pound cancer patient.
What are you doing? Died. What are you scratching? What the hell's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't touch you or anyone else.
What the hell? I'm hearing it sounds like a dog is trying to get out. It's like, is it a box? It's like the dog that got thrown into that grave last week.
Oh.
That was a fun story.
All right, I'm.
Are you out of here?
I'm out of here.
You're
but
do
I'm.
A little bit
I'm
of business?
Only, I have a conference call, so I'm just going to go sit in the other room and talk to China.
Okay.
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 And we'll ding,
yeah, that's right.
And we'll talk and about you while you're gone.
Yeah, you can do that.
We did miss that.
China high.
I will.
Yeah, but not Beijing. We're mad at Beijing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Shanghai is okay?
Shanghai is very cool.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys. See you, Jason.
Bye, Sherry.
You can imagine if Sherry calls and be like, "Oh, it's about time you called."
You do that.
I've been waiting long hour.
Wow.
I love Schaffner logic.
Wow. Wow. You are a racist motherfucker, aren't you? God damn.
Schaffner logic?
Yeah, yeah.
But Schaffner logic.
If you're going to do the racist humor, you might as well do it.
He
right?
didn't even do it right. He's like, Schrodger logic. That's not Chinese. That's Astro.
That's Scooby.
Yeah, that's Astro.
Shaggy.
All right, Rorge. But you know what's interesting? There's a tremendous number of these. I'm amazed by they've obviously taken a cue from both TNT and USA Network to launch a lot of these small run dramas or drama comedies in the summertime, right? Monk is back, Psych is back, ESPN has got the Bronx is Burning, the whole Reggie Jackson thing, which is basically a kind of a schmaltzy drama thing.
Yeah, the ESPN's never done really good with those shows.
They're getting some numbers on this one, though.
Are they?
They had absolutely.
They had a poker one a little while back that was supposed to be good.
They're getting some real numbers on this thing because it's about people that everybody knows. It's about George Steinbrenner. It's about Billy Martin. It's about Reggie Jackson. So they figured out, let's make it more of a soap opera, and it's working better that way. The Closer, Kathy Griffin, I mean, there's just tons of these things.
They're really taking over the summer. They're the ones getting the ratings. There's not a whole lot going on regular TV right now. And they've really, they've analyzed that they have a time where they can really get a lot of viewers, a lot more viewers away from the network during the summer, and it's working for them. And I think they're building an audience, too. And they're also, they're making money, because a list of the highest paid celebrities and stuff in entertainment and TV just came out from TV Guide. And they have the highest paid pay TV salaries. Keira Sedgwick is on top. She's making $250,000 an episode for The Closer.
Holy crap!
So if they can afford to pay her that much, you know, they're probably doing okay. Some of the other top ones, the other three right below her are all from Nip Tuck, a show that I'm not a big fan of, but you watch though, right, Robin?
I do not watch Nip Tuck, no.
I'm
not a big surgery fan in real life or
you have enough of that in your real life.
Pretty much. I'm good with that. I want to talk a little bit more about the TV Guide thing and also maybe get into Emmy talk. Can you hang around and take a quick break here?
Absolutely.
All right, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love. Parviz did the calculations during the last break and confirmed that, in fact, it is 40th anniversary. Did you not?
I did.
All right, goody. Check.
Unless
with,
you're talking about 57 or 67.
No. He went to the official accounting firm of Ernst & Young, and they did the calculations and confirmed that this is, in fact, the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love. So we'll take a quick break, play a quick song, come back into the song, talk a little bit more about starting salaries for the first five, and Emmys with young Jason Nathanson down in Los Angeles. Listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, and everybody here in the studio, inviting you to please stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Love.
From the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're about 4 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, blah, 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 blah. Parvis Patel, Son of Vista.
Son of Vista, Robin.
Beatles, Never Get Old, classic.
Classics.
Hard to imagine that's 40 years ago.
Yep.
Because that still sounds fresh to me. Like, some of the other tunes sound like, you know, like oldies. But I never consider, like, anything from Sgt. Pepper or anything to be oldies.
No, they were definitely ahead of their time.
Right? Very much so.
Yeah.
Let's say Son of Easton, welcome back to Jason Nathanson.
Son of Easton.
So the Summer of Love, that's way before your time.
If we're talking 67, that would be 10 years before I was born, yeah.
10 years before your time. Now, were your folks married 10 years before you were born?
Let's see. No, they were married in 72.
All right.
So
they might have been.
They just started dating in 67.
Is that right?
Yep.
So they might have gotten together for the first time during that Summer of Love.
Sure. Your parents could have had lots of crazy sex during the Summer of Love.
Were your parents hippie?
Visual, thanks.
Were your parents?
No.
They were not hippie?
They were a little too old at that point to get caught up in all that. So
are you near some Hare Krishnas?
Surprisingly, I am.
Or someone who plays no instrument other than a tambourine?
No. You're hearing tambourines.
Amazingly, we are, yes.
That is odd.
Thanks for confirming that. All right, so you were telling us right before the break about, we've got a magazine here in the United States called TV Guide, comes out every week. And it's for people that are basically too lazy to look in the free newspaper to find out what's going to be on TV that night.
Exactly.
They actually subscribe to a whole magazine.
You've got a lot of interesting information on all your favorite shows.
Like what?
Like the top TV salaries of 2006. And now I bet you can guess who came in at number one.
I think I know, but
let me see. Number one TV salary would probably be one of the people from Two and a Half Men.
No, close though. A close personal friend of mine, actually, who I met about a year ago at this time, that would be Oprah Winfrey.
Oh.
She made $260 million last year.
Oh, God.
Now, that's not just her show that takes into account Rachel Ray's show, who she owns, Dr. Phil, her whole Harpo Productions gang there. So $260 million for Oprah. Came in number two, not even close to what she made. $45 million a year. That was Simon Cowell from American Idol.
Wow.
And he's also he also produces America's Got Talent, American Inventor, and he does some British TV shows as well.
Right.
Number three, I was completely shocked at, since I've never seen a minute of this person on TV, Judge Judy, Judy Shineland.
Oh, yeah. Wow. My cousin.
$30 million.
Wow. Wow, that is surprising.
Wow. Cousin Judy.
Cousin Judy.
Yep, she's my cousin.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is. She is my... Yes, really. But we can go around one more time if you'd like.
Really?
Yes, really.
Wow.
She is my dad's cousin's wife's niece.
Wow.
So, you know, not that I could hit her up for a million or anything like that, but...
you could. She's got it. That's for sure.
Well, that's what we've just learned.
Katie Couric came in at number four with $15 million a year.
That's she better squirrel that money away. I'm not sure how much longer that's going to...
She's a complete disaster, isn't she?
And, well...
didn't she get this week by... didn't Rather kind of diss her this week?
Again? Because I know...
Again?
A couple weeks ago.
I heard...
I haven't seen the most recent.
I heard that Lindsay Lohan even said, hey, at least I'm not her.
Okay, that was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Yeah.
Oh, sure. I have cocaine in the car, but at least I don't have her show.
You should have stopped it first.
Yeah, really. Really. The joke would have been, it's not my cocaine, and thank God it's not my show. See, there, you got the little parallel kind of construction.
Left, right, left.
We'll work on that.
All right.
With Bobby Keldon. When Bobby comes on, we'll work on that with Bobby.
Other news anchors top in the list are Matt Lauer made $12 million last year.
That's obscene.
And Meredith Vieira made 10. Although, I don't really call them news anchors.
They're
hosts. They're
readers. Yeah, they're news readers.
How did Peter Jennings do?
He is not on the list because he doesn't anchor the news anymore. Yeah. So he's not up there.
Yeah, that's the Parviz humor that we've been missing all of these weeks. Yeah. So just as by way of sidelight for those of you who missed the beginning of the show, you may want to listen to the email from Meredith at the beginning of the show. Meredith, now you understand
why it's only one person.
Yeah, why there's only one person who wrote in asking where the hell Parviz has been all of these weeks. Just Meredith, it's not that we're blaming you, Meredith, but the reality is we're kind of cursing your name and then lighting things on fire and then cursing it again. Just so that you know, nothing personal. We love you. We love our listeners. www.schnazlogic.com. Keep going.
And then number five on the list, and now I haven't seen the full list. This is just what they released to the news. So I don't know their methodology. Zach Braff came in number five.
Wow.
He's the guy from Scrubs. He made $6.3 million last year for 18 episodes of Scrubs. But there's other people who are making more money per year than him. So I don't know exactly why on every list he's number five. but that's what they have. So,
wow.
I mean, and that's surprising. I mean, Zach Braff, you know, he's on a moderately successful comedy show, but he's doing well. The top salaries per episode for different shows, William Peterson on CSI.
Oh, yeah, the original.
$500,000 an episode. Charlie Sheen, Two and a Half Men, makes $350,000.
All right, so Parviz was almost right.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago.
Two Law and Order SVU characters, Mariska Hargitay and Chris Maloney, make $350,000 a piece. And the other surprising thing, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, she just re-upped her contract. She's getting $200,000 an episode. And let's go down to Bob Barker last year.
Yes.
$10 million.
Wow.
Price is right. I know he's also got a production company and probably some other things coming in. I don't know that he just made that from, and I doubt Drew Carey is going to make $10 million next year.
And Ellen DeGeneres?
Ellen DeGeneres made $5 million.
And also, little blonde mustache. Has a little tiny mustache on her upper lip. Just a little bit of fuzz.
I think she bought that with her $5 million.
Well, you could. It could be solid gold.
Tyra Banks is doing pretty well. She's got two shows, America's Next Top Model and the daytime talk show she does. That's bringing in $3.5 million for her.
Tyra Banks is the worst.
Am I on that list? Keep looking.
Let's see. No, the page doesn't scroll down that far.
Okay.
So, no, I don't. Keith Olbermann made $4 million, and Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, I think she's the highest paid 60 Minutes correspondent, made $1.8 million.
So you think these guys made more money? Like, I would figure Leslie Stahl was making FU money. I'm not sure $1.8 million is FU money.
Not exactly.
Yes,
no.
That's you pretty much got to kiss old puckered old white Mike Wallace's puckered old white ass money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
she's got a pretty good gig. I mean, for
do you ever notice?
Yeah. What about Andy Rooney? What's he making?
Andy Rooney is not on this list.
You ever notice that Leslie Stahl is making more than me?
I gotta say, Andy Rooney has really started to piss me off the past couple of weeks. I watch 60 Minutes every week. I watch it with my grandmother. I go over there Sunday nights for dinner, and that's our ritual, and we watch 60 Minutes. And
how is your grandma? How is your grandma?
She's good. She turns 93 on Sunday.
Wow.
And still turning tricks.
That was kind of funny.
Thank you, Jason.
Both, but it was kind of funny.
Hey, Jason, really quick, I just wanted to say before I forget, that show On the Lot, is that just like a total disaster?
I've watched only a little bit of it because one of my friend's friend is on it, so I get an email every week saying, vote for this person.
Yeah.
I haven't really watched it. The 2 seconds I did, it was kind of painful. It was one of those things where you're so embarrassed for some of the people in the films they're making that you kind of want to cringe.
Yeah.
So, not a big fan myself, no.
You have any other questions, Parviz?
Television?
Relevant to the topic we're talking about here? Yes. Yes, television?
Parviz
for 100.
No. Last Comic Standing, I think, is doing poorly.
Okay.
I love that show. I really do. I think it's funny every week. It's funny to watch the people who bomb. And they have really good comedians on there. And I definitely laugh out loud every week.
Now, here's something I noticed. They're actually rerunning episodes of the quiz show that you were on, 1 to 100.
They are.
Right.
Yes. And, I mean, talk about low budget. And also, these are not shows that they ran. It's not like the classic What's My Lines, which they ran, 50 years ago, and so you don't really know who these people are. These are shows that they ran just a couple of months ago. So these are shows that apparently have people who have brain damage. Right. And then in which case, they should really just tape one. They don't even have to go through the premise of taping 13 or 26. Just tape one and play it every week, and people go, oh, good.
Has my show rerun? Have you seen me?
Dude, yet? I watched your show because I knew you were going to be on it. Beyond that, I stay as far away from that stuff as possible.
Yeah, that's
but now awesome. I feel like I should have been nicer to Drew Carey when I met him backstage at Mort's concert.
Hey, he's the it guy right now.
No shit.
Game shows.
He's the it shit.
And he's doing well, and he's going to have fuck you money. I mean, he already does. I mean, Drew Carey and Steve has made him a ton of money. And Whose Line Is It Anyway? He made good money for that, too. So, I mean, the guy's already got scratch, and now he's got a...
And so why is he so depressed? Because he's so fat. I mean, his mom is... No, but I mean...
I think you just answered your question with the answer was right.
But
there.
I don't understand that, because he had lost some weight when he started to do Whose Line Is It Anyway, and, he got the LASIK surgery, so he didn't need those glasses anymore. He was obviously trying to get into a relationship, somebody who was not a hooker, and...
He does like the hookers.
Hookers and strippers. He's really big on the hookers. Listen, God bless him. Who doesn't? But
sure.
But when I met him backstage, I was surprised that he had put on all that weight and like another cheeseburger. I mean, it was... No, but really. And I thought... And I kind of felt badly because I didn't know that he had the Price Is Right thing in the works. And I thought, well, emceeing like a summer replacement game show, that's sad. That's like Penn Jillette money. That's like stupid. But now it's like, holy shit, you must have known this was on a possibility. You have the fucking world on a string. Like,
was he depressed when you saw him? I mean, or was he jovial?
I don't know. Are you suggesting he might have been depressed after he saw me? I can't... I mean, he seemed happy, but, laugh, funny, laugh, clown, laugh. I mean, that's Piachi, right. So...
Which
is delicious.
You've been around comics enough, that's what this inner pain, these inner demons, is what drives a lot of them. And a lot of them think that if they get rid of that, they won't be funny anymore. So, I don't know why he's probably a little happier now, I gotta say.
I gotta figure.
Right thing. You hope so.
Yes, indeed. I certainly do. All right, so the other thing is big news in television entertainment, of course, is the Primetime Emmys were announced.
Yes, and award season starts back up again just a little bit, which is exciting for me.
I love it.
I get to go, so I will be going to the Emmys, which will be Sunday, September 16th.
Wow. Did you go last year to the Emmys?
I didn't go to the Emmys, no, because I wasn't working in radio down here yet.
All right.
So the first thing I went to was the Golden Globes, which was last February.
All right.
So The Sopranos, 15 nominations, leading the pack as far as series goes. Two other things actually got more nominations, but The Sopranos was definitely the big one with 15. And they'll probably win for most of the categories. I mean, that's just all the award shows. That's how they do it for the last season. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. Alec Baldwin is probably the one who's going to win for 30 Rock. He won at the Golden Globes, but I'd give it to Ricky Gervais from Extras because I just like that show better. Steve Carell, Charlie Sheen, and Tony Shalhoub are also nominated there. The outstanding comedy series, 30 Rock, Entourage, The Office, Two and a Half Men and Ugly Betty. The Office will probably win again, and I'd give it to that out of that whole list. I don't really find Entourage is a good show, and I enjoy it, but I really don't find it all that funny. It's not like laugh out loud like a comedy, like I would expect. And 30 Rock was good, but I don't think it's good enough to beat out the others there. And lead actress in a comedy will probably, I think, go to Tina Fey for 30 Rock. But Felicity Huffman, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, America Ferrera from Ugly Betty, and Mary Louise Parker from Weeds was also nominated.
You know, it's very nice. It's nice to see the network sitcoms actually, after we lamented over them at the beginning of the season, that they actually kind of made a comeback by the end of the year. The 30 Rocks, the Julie Louis-Dreyfus, the Two and a Half Men, The Office. I mean, they made a fairly decent showing on primetime network television.
Yeah, and I think hopefully it'll just get better. Although the I still think the three camera sitcom is pretty much dead. It's only on CBS, and there's a couple shows on ABC now. A lot of them are moving to the single camera format, which I think is better for television. You know, shows like Weeds on Showtime and stuff. There's and Entourage on HBO. You know, there's good stuff. It doesn't just have to be on the networks. And Weeds is coming back with Mary-Kate Olsen is going to be one of the guest stars in the upcoming season of Weeds, which should be very interesting. We haven't seen her act in something real since Full House, so wow. Very excited about that.
All right, well that's exciting stuff. Anything else we need to know about?
I mean, we could run down the nominations here, but they're really kind of boring.
All right.
I mean, I don't know if you want to or not.
Not all that interested. I mean, as we get closer, we'll probably go through and pick them.
Yeah. The Riches was one of the shows we've talked about before. Did get a couple of nominations. That was on FX. I don't know what's up with the show right now. They haven't been showing new episodes, and it might be canceled. But Minnie Driver did get a nomination there in the Best Drama Series. So.
Is that what you use when you go to play putt-putt golf?
Yeah, my jokes were bad. Hey, Jason, is there any hoopla down where you live there about this NBA referee?
That was funny.
That was hilarious. Is there any hoopla about that NBA referee betting on his own games kind of thing?
What about him?
You know, is there hoopla going on down where you live? I mean, is it shocking news or no big deal?
Could you say hoopla again?
Hoopla.
It's really not that big of a deal.
Okay, I'm moving on.
Yeah. How about what do you use when you need to tee off at the putt-putt golf? Well, what club do you use?
The Mini Driver.
Unbelievable.
That's how I know that I could never actually be like a really successful professional stand-up comedian. Is I laugh all the fucking time. Like, I'm always happy and having a good time, and, you know, life is...
Would you want to be a game show host?
I'd love to be a game show host. I think I would be great at it.
I don't know. It's really tough. I mean, when I saw Bob Saget do it at One Versus 100, it really takes a special skill. Bob Barker was really good.
Yes, holding a microphone.
Bob Barker was really good, and like I said, he was a lot better off-air than he was on.
That microphone-holding thing. Well, I think this is the key. The key is you have to be able to fake that you love everybody who comes on stage, right? I mean, you have to be able to kind of...
That would be my problem.
Yeah, I do that with you guys every week.
That is true, and you're very good at it.
Absolutely. I'm having a great time. I love myself. I love the job. I love the people. This is great. This is a game show. We're all having fun. There's no surgery going on here. Let's play the game. I mean, I think that's the way you do it. I consider this show to be a game show. And you guys are all winners. Wow. Now I know what Parviz feels like. Yes, I would love to do it. In fact, next week, I already included that we're going to have J. Keith Van Stratton on our show next week. Going to be here at the beginning of the show next week. He's a stand-up comedian down in Los Angeles who actually has hosted a game show on Comedy Central. He hosted Beat the Geeks, and he hosts a live version of What's My Line every Sunday night, I think at the Acme Theater in Los Angeles. And so we can actually maybe get you on and get a chance to ask him about the what extra special skills it requires to being a host other than owning a suit.
Sure, and get me some tickets to that, too.
Well, that I can get. I mean, tickets are no problems. That's all you want are tickets?
Yeah.
See, but
I want is free stuff.
I think the difference is that here's the difference. The difference is I want people to notice me, right? Although I sort of don't run through the depression the way that I used to, I still want people to notice me, which means I want to be the center of attention.
Right.
You don't want to be the center of attention.
I know. I have no desire to be.
Right. And
that's why I like radio, because I like to be in media, but I like the anonymity of it. And you're not out in front.
Oh, we don't attack him. All right.
Yeah, it's anonymity. Yeah. It is. But that's okay.
Ever. Are we done yet? I hear music.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of done. Yeah. You want to be done?
Yeah.
And scene. All right. Hey, listen, my friend, thanks very much. Tomorrow morning, as always, every week over on KSCO.
Sure.
And you're over on your own blog, randomshow.blogspot.com. You actually had a fresh post about a week ago. Very exciting. So we invite people to go over there. And any possibility of the return of the Sam, Jason, and the Schmengi show?
Things are kind of up in the air right now.
All right.
Big fat no.
But we're working on it. We're trying to come out of hiatus, and hopefully somebody will pay us $30 million a year to do it.
All right, my friend. Listen, have yourself a great week. We'll be back with you next week. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back on the other side with... there you go. Stick around.
And happy birthday, Grandma.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. I'm down in my mind. Said I'm a believer.
Of mankind, dead kings, many things I can't define. Occasions, but swaggers, butter your mind. In the sense of
and compliments the color of time.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose.
Incense and compliments, meaningless nouns. Turn on, tune in, turn your eyes around.
Look what you saw.
You can do beatniks and politics, nothing is new. A yardstick for lunatics, one point of view.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 31 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, show number 59, being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 25th of July, 2007. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, saying son of Easton, welcome back to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Easta.
Son of Easton, welcome back to Parviz Vitali.
Son of Easta.
Are you enjoying your time back?
It's good. Absolutely.
Yeah, you back in the kind of groove?
I'm getting in the groove. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah? I'm holding back tonight.
Are you? Don't ever hold back.
No, not on purpose.
Pedal to the metal, my friend.
No, the pedal's down to the metal, but it's like when you're when you eat a sandwich for the first time after so many years.
What sandwich would?
I don't know.
What sandwich?
I don't know. It's the first thing that came to my mind.
You had a whole song to plan this out. I mean, you had a piece of paper and pad. There's sandwich. You could have written down the name of it.
I know. Like pie. I should have said pie.
See, if you were a professional comedian,
right,
you would have written down the name of a sandwich. It would have been a funny sandwich.
Do we have a professional comedian on
Limburger,
the show?
Funny sandwich. Rush Limburger, not such a funny sandwich.
Everything's on the right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll give you that. As a matter of fact, this is what it said on his website. It's always so hard to know how to introduce someone, especially someone who's got such a great resume of credentials. Bobby Kelton appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson over, I think, 21 times. So right away, you're in awe, because this is not like a one-time fluke. I mean, this is someone who really has the craft down and came back again and again and again. Bobby Kelton accomplished what most stand-up comics could only dream of. He performed in America's premier comedy showcase, The Tonight Show, 21 times. In addition, he racked up dozens of other television credits. I mean, you look at his website, www.bobbykelton.com, and you can see he was on just about every major show of that time, sort of the late night comics of that era, you know, the Seinfeld era, and Albert Brooks. I mean, just the folks who were really like hot and there at that period of time. He graduated from Syracuse University with a degree in journalism and began working as a sports writer for the LA Times, much like Ken Turetsky. So another sports writer turned comedian, but is driven by a desire to put his college education
education to good use and decided to go into comedy. And if you think to yourself, well, I'm not sure they ever actually heard Bobby Kelton, I'm sure that you actually have heard Bobby Kelton. And here's a little bit of Bobby Kelton audio.
Then I drive to my bank. My bank has one of those drive-through versatellers, you know, the drive-through ATMs. And I'm doing the transaction, and I notice the letters and numbers are in Braille. Now, this is a drive-through ATM. Am I missing something here? Are there a lot of blind people driving around without any cash? Pulled over by a cop about a month ago. And he asked me perhaps the dumbest question I've ever been asked. Cop, I rolled down my window, cop comes over. He says, why were you driving so fast? I said, because I didn't see you. He said, what are you, a comedian? All over LA, you know, where they put the cameras on the buildings and you can get a ticket without even being pulled over, like we need this. Because this happened to me. I got in the mail a photo of my car going through the intersection and a ticket for $100. So you know what I did? I sent them a photo of a check for $100. They sent me a photo of a pair of handcuffs, so...
I went into a seafood restaurant, went to the bathroom. Instead of men and women, it says herring and mackerel. Now, what am I? Some woman walks by. I said, excuse me, miss, do I look like a herring or a mackerel? She looked me over. She said, you look like a shrimp to me.
Well, we'll give him a little extra applause here and say Sona Vista and welcome to Bobby Kelton. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Wow, where can I get that guy's CD?
www.bobbykelton.com.
Very impressive resume. Did I really do all that?
Does it surprise you when you hear the clips and you sort of see what you've managed to accomplish in not a very long amount of time?
Does it surprise me? I probably know because I've done it. But if you told me, you know, 20, 25 years ago that I was going to do it, I'd probably be surprised to hear that. But anyway, it's fun to hear. It's always fun to hear. And I still do some of that stuff. But by the way, thanks for having me on tonight. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Love coming on to talk about comedy. Never enough comedy talk in this world. That's what I say. In fact, the world would be a better place if, like, the United States and North Korea could have some bilateral comedy talk. Never, you know, like, somebody should suggest that, don't you think?
Well, wouldn't we need a comedian in the White House to be able to... Wait a second. All right, you're setting
right,
me up.
Yeah,
all right. Thank
all
you,
right.
Bobby. That's why he's a pro.
Uh-huh. Going on.
Well, you know, it's terrific to have you, and sort of when you were doing this, you were in that period of time, the folks who were sort of doing stand-up at that time, and in fact, you've got this classic Comics of Late Night show, which you can find out who those folks are by going over to your webpage. Those were people that kind of broke out. It was like, for me, it was like the first generation after the Borscht Belt comedians. These were folks who were relevant, right. They were relating, they were real, right. They weren't doing shtick. But what did you draw upon to sort of develop the style of comedy, which then, of course, was copied by everyone?
Right, well, you know, you're right. It was a new genre of comedy after the Borscht Belt Catskills era. All of a sudden, in the mid-70s, this new style came in, which was basically everyday life, topical, observational stuff. And that's what we drew from. And we all seemed to be on that wavelength at the time. So that's where that all grew out of. And that's what we liked doing. I think it was the first time that comedians took a look at real life and, you know, the things people have to go through every day.
Was that sort of the nature of the times, you know, during the music this week or celebration of the Summer of Love 40 years ago, which were a lot of sort of social changes at that period of time. Do you think it sort of came about from that? And it's sort of, you know, the end of the Vietnam War, people were beginning to explore other options, and so doing shtick didn't seem as important as talking.
No, it didn't have anything to do with Vietnam. You know, it had the fact that most of us guys just had nothing to do. And we got out of college and said, now what are we going to do? Hey, you know what? Maybe try comedy. And that's what, so, you know, don't get so heavy there because, you know, it's funny, the way I started, you know, people say to me, how do you get into it? And this is actually the truth. I used to, you know, watch the Tonight Show and my predecessors, and, you know, I would see a comedian, and I saw one or two guys, and I said, hey, that doesn't look hard. I could do that.
And boom, the next day I went and to a club and I started trying it.
Wow.
So it was that simple. And, you know, I think it was the case that a lot of people weren't sure what they wanted to do. And, you know, it was one of those things that was just starting to gain interest and national attention, and the clubs started coming around. And it was an easy way to possibly make a living without getting up at 7 in the morning.
Well, there you go.
Which was always my motivation, you know.
Just so that you know, by the way, because my co-hosts are both sitting here very quietly listening attentively, which is a nice thing for an audience, but not great for a co-host. Sherry Stevens is in the studio. Say hi, Sherry.
Sherry, hi.
Hi, Bobby.
And Parviz Vitali is in the studio as well.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are you doing?
Parviz has actually done some stand-up comedy, so...
Great.
But not a lot of radio, apparently.
No. Bobby, I have to ask you a question. I did stand-up for probably 2 or 3 years of my life in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be honest, I just heard of you for the first time today. And,
hey, and you and me both.
Right.
You've heard of first time he's heard of you.
Yeah, right. So... So when I heard your bit about the ATM and having Braille, I tell you, Bobby, God honest truth, I did the exact same joke back in 2000, and I remember I've done it twice in my life, and I opened a set with that joke, and I never heard of you, and I never thought of, but when I heard it right now, it almost got me sick to my stomach, thinking like, oh God, people must think I must have stole this joke. One other time, I used to do another joke, and I saw a DVD of Patton Oswalt. He did, not the same type, but he did a similar type of joke. And I tell you, it's a tough business, because I think if you could be, if, honestly, I've never stolen a joke in my life. But a lot of the jokes could be general, where somebody says kind of the same thing. And
I just wanted to ask you, if yours is better than mine, can I do it?
No, it's not better than yours. It's not. And as a matter of fact, recently I heard Carlos Mencia. There's some flack between him and Bill Cosby because he does a joke about football and his mother, and they're saying like he stole it. And you know, it's kind of like I wonder if they do steal it, because they're on a DVD that sells millions of DVDs. Why would you do a joke that you supposedly stole?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because we were talking about right before the show, there's an article in the LA Times just a couple of days ago, and you got quoted on that. Just yesterday, and you got quoted on that. I mean, you've watched this kind of roll through, and you had some interesting observations about sort of when you were starting out, that people, they would be ostracized if they did this.
Yeah, well, in answer to the other question, whether he stole it, you know, what I found, you know, over the years is that you never really know, you know, there's no way to tell. I mean, sometimes it's a coincidence, and some people do lift material. When I was starting out in the mid to late 70s, and I started out with, you know, everybody from Jay Leno, Robin Williams, David Letterman, Billy Crystal, Andy Kaufman, Richard Lewis, and on and on. And in fact, if you walked into the clubs on any given night, like in New York at Catch a Rising Star or the Comedy Store in L.A., that would be the lineup. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to a club now and seeing that lineup?
Unbelievable.
That's what it was. And everybody was so good, you were lucky to get on at 1 in the morning. But we had an unwritten code of ethics. And, you know, you got to remember, there weren't that many comedians in the country. I don't know how many there were. Maybe there were 100. Now there's probably 50,000. But everybody knew everybody's act. And there was an unwritten code. You just didn't dare lift somebody's material. If somebody did, it was a major story. Everybody knew it. The guy was ostracized, and you know, just to protect your own interests, you wouldn't even go there. Plus, we were all really purists. We were not only ethical, but we didn't want anything we didn't do, for the most part. There was always an odd duck that might do something, but very rare. And so we were really purists in that sense. You know, like, I didn't want that guy's material because I didn't think of it. But now it's and I don't know why it's changed. Guys, maybe you could tell me. I just think, you know, like, everything changes, and there became a plethora of comedians, and nobody cared.
Well, you like to blame it on the internet and Napster. I mean, I think there is sort of
To be honest, this was happening, but the internet is, you know, is what, since the mid 90s, really. But this was happening by the mid to late 80s. You had these things going on. So, but that, by the way, that does, you know, my jokes are on the internet. A couple of them, and I walked into I told the guy who wrote the LA Times this story. He didn't put this in the article, but I went to a greeting store about a month ago, and I'm looking through greeting cards, and I pick one up, and it's a birthday card, and I open it up, and inside is my joke: why is birthday cake the only food you can blow on and spit on, and everybody rushes to get it?
I swear, guys. Great. And listen to this. Not only did they have the audacity to use my joke, but they attributed it to me. They put my name under it, like Bobby Kelton. like, you know, it's like if I did want to sue them, they were saying, yeah, we took it from Bobby Kelton. But, wow. You know, I, you know what, it wasn't even worth it, you know, but I was smart enough to just make a couple of copies of the cards and send them to my birthday. So I figured I might as well get something out of it.
Well, do you think that it's because you guys thought of yourself as being writers? You know, I mean, you were performers, but you sort of thought of yourself, you took pride in the fact that you guys were actually writers and not merely performers?
Yeah, we've thought of us as creators. Yeah, definitely. As writers, creators, and performers too, but you're right. It was an even mixture, you know. I refrain from using the word artist. I mean, it's just too presumptuous. I've had people say to me, you know, you're an artist. And if somebody else wants to say it, fine. I could never say that. To me, an artist is somebody who paints those pictures that look really nice that you put on the wall. You know, it is an art. You know what it is, guys? It's a craft. It's a craft. Actually, I tell people, you know, being funny is more about the craft. My older brother, I have three brothers. My older brother is by far and away funnier than I am, but he could never go on stage and do what I do because it's the craft of knowing how to command an audience, structure an act, and get them to buy into it. That's more of being funny than actually being funny is.
And that's actually an interesting question because Parviz admitted that he had done some stand-up. I played around with it for a little bit. And, you know, coming up with funny things to say is only part of it. Having the ability to stand on stage, command the audience, capture the audience, if you will, get them to draw the attention, go along with you. You're basically a conductor of an orchestra. The audience is the orchestra. You're the conductor. You got to kind of make the highs and the lows work. How did you figure out how to do that?
Well, it's a good question, and the answer is experience. And you're right, you are like a conductor. And the most valuable lesson you learn from experience is that every situation is different. The more experience you have, the more you learn how to deal with those situations. So I do a lot of corporate work, a lot of work for big companies, along with Las Vegas clubs, cruise ships. Every one of those, you know, is so completely different. They're like night and day, and every approach is different. Now, 20, 25 years ago, I was pretty good, but to be honest with you, I was still, you know, a little bit raw, and I didn't know exactly how to approach every situation. Now I know exactly how to approach every situation, and sometimes you just got to know what you're dealing with. I mean, on a cruise ship, you're in the middle of the ocean. These people eat 17 meals a day, okay? So by the time you're on at 9 o'clock, they've eaten 16 meals, and while you're doing jokes, all they're thinking is, what time is the next meal? So, you know, plus people from all over the world. I mean, I had 40 people. I was on a cruise ship a few months ago, 40 people from Brazil sitting right in the front. Looking at me, they didn't speak any English.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? You play it, you know, it just depends on the situation, but you learn how to play. When I do corporate work, for example, I know that it's going to be a company and it's only the people from that company. So what I do is I do jokes about the company, about them, about who the boss is, about what's going on. I tailor it to them. And so if I'm doing a show for the local mechanics of San Jose, my opening line might be, boy, you know what? My agent's been getting me on the Tonight Show and Letterman. I called him up. I said, that's not why I got in the show business. Now get me the local mechanics of San Jose. You see, but boom, like that, I have them in the palm of my hand.
Right.
And again, all those little tricks you learn through experience. And that's the answer to your question. It just takes a lot of time. It takes being in every possible circumstance and going through a lot of bad times. Trust me, a lot of bad ones.
And with the proliferation of comedians today, I mean, you know, maybe there's 10 times more than there were when you were working. Maybe it's 50 times more. Do you find that there are folks who are actually taking the time to learn the craft, or is it kind of one-note Johnny, one shtick Jane, and that's it? I mean, because there's a lot of outlets for comedy, you know? I mean, certainly wherever you look, you can find comedians, but are we laughing because they're funny, or are we just laughing because they say they're comedians?
I think the latter, you hit the nail on the head. Not to, you know, put down, you know, anybody who's doing it, certainly is a difficult task. But, you know, again, when I started out, it was all about the craft and getting as much material as you could, being prolific, being able to work anywhere and everywhere. And then the times changed, and it was more about shocking the audience and just maybe getting one thing that worked and trying to run with it. And so I think there's some truth to that.
do you find, you know, people talk about comics sort of, you know, in their own personal lives, sad clowns, depressed, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of comedians that I know don't watch comedy. They don't, they're not sort of interested in comedies. Are you someone that sort of finds when you have downtime, and looking at your website, it's hard to imagine that you actually have any downtime whatsoever. But when you have any free time for yourself and you're not writing a new book, which I do want to talk to you about as well, because the stuff I read on the website was really, really funny. Genuinely funny. I mean, do you watch comedy or do you sort of stay away from that?
Well, if I'm flipping the channels and I go by the Letterman show and I see there's a comedian coming on, I'll watch it. But I don't go out of my way to look for it. You know, after you do it, you know, first of all, you know, you've basically seen it all. Now, there are certain guys that were like icons to me, my idols. If I see that Albert Brooks is going to be on a talk show, yeah. I mean, he's not going to be doing stand-up, but I won't miss it for the world.
Yeah.
You know, guys
yeah.
like that, Carlin. But as far as the newer comedians, I don't go out of my way to watch it. I don't really watch that much TV anyway. But I think that, you know, from what I've seen in the last decade or two, it very rarely hits the mark, and it kind of bores me, to be honest.
All right, that's fair, I think. We're talking to Bobby Kelton. His website is www.bobbykelton.com. He is, you can tell, he's a comedian with a lot of experience. Tonight Show 20-some-odd times and just about every other show. His website's got little clips of things. And now you're decided to write a book about dating in the 21st century, effectively.
Yeah, well, actually, I've written two books. And by the way, before I get into them, I want to say that it's very important to do things like this, because what happens with people getting into comedy, they say, oh, I'm going to make it as a stand-up comic, and then they just bang their head against the wall for 10, 20 years. But you have to constantly reinvent yourself and do other things.
Right.
And because you need to have ways to market yourself beyond just being a stand-up, because it's not important enough anymore.
Sure.
You know? I mean, so I wrote two books. You know, first of all, I'm
well, that's what makes you an artist.
Right. exactly. So I wrote a book on internet dating because I did it for a year, and it was like the experiences were so absurd and so strange and so funny when I would tell the story that I wrote a book. It's called, and the title, by the way, will explain it all, Please Don't Let This Be Her. And it is about all the ups and downs, and it's underneath, it's like a stand-up comic search for love on the internet. And you know, it was so ridiculous. As you guys might have tried it, a lot of people listening probably tried it, and everybody knows, we all go through, everybody could relate to some of the things you go through, but for a comedian, I would have a comedian's perspective on it at the same time. So not only was I living these horror stories, but it was like, I could see the humor, the sad, tragic humor behind it. And, you know, I want to talk about that, but also I wrote another book, which is not about dating, but it's about political humor, called Politictionary, and it's about when politicians say things, what they really mean. So it's like a series of definitions.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I wrote that with a comedian friend of mine, John DeBellis. So I have two books out, but the dating book is, you know, it's going to be, it's a great book. I think you saw some excerpts from my website.
They're on your website, yep. You've got, I think, three little essays or parts of essays on the website, and they're terrific. Has the book been released yet, or is it coming soon? Or
I have a terrific agent, Margaret O'Connor from the Gersh Agency in L.A., one of the biggest agents, and we have a lot of interest, and I'm hoping that it's going to be published by the end of the year.
Oh, outstanding. Oh, outstanding. Well, when you find out for sure, obviously drop me an email. We'll put a link on our webpage right to your page, Amazon, wherever it is, and we get people copies of it. But right now they can go to your website and actually read some of these things. And
right.
Did you think about writing about it before you started doing it, so that you thought, well, at least if it's not successful, I've got material? Or
no, good question. And some people have thought I did, but actually it never entered my mind. I didn't even want to write a book. You know, who wants to write a book? I mean, it's great to write a book, but how do you write a book? But I didn't even think about it, never thought about it during the process. But after a year, when I had had enough and I finished, and I started telling people what I'd gone through, and people were on the floor, I said, yeah, maybe I should write this. But just for example, let me just tell you, can I tell you the genesis of the whole thing?
Sure, sure, sure.
Of how I got the title? Well, first of all, Please Don't Let This Be Her. You know, if I was a girl, the title would have, if I was a woman, the title would have been Please Don't Let This Be Him. It's not against anybody. It's about what I went through. See, what happens on internet dating quite often, more often than not, is people kind of don't tell the truth about their age, and they show pictures that maybe are 20 years old, so they don't show the true what they truly look like.
And then you set up a date, and when they show up in your mind, you're going, oh, my God, this is not what I thought I was getting into.
We're laughing so, especially hard because both Robin and I have been through this a number of times.
In spades.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, so absolutely.
What happened was I remember distinctly the first date I went on. I said, oh, this is great. You go on the Internet. You meet somebody. And I had all my hopes up. And the person walked in, and it was like I just described. It was like nothing like the picture, and it was like, I didn't even know if she was at the right table. And so then that happened literally the first four or five dates I had. So by the sixth date or whatever, I'd always get there first. I'd be sitting in a place, whether it was Starbucks or something, by myself, and every vagabond that came into the place, I was so paranoid that I'd say to myself, please don't let this be her. Please don't let this be her. I mean, sumo wrestlers, guys in dreadlocks, anybody who walked into the place, I'd say, please don't let this be her. Because I was just totally paranoid. And usually it was. But, you know, I write in my book that the book is really a harbinger of hope that someday I'll be able, somebody will walk over my table and I'll say, please let this be her, and it will be. But so far, it hasn't been.
Oh, God. Well, please don't let it be her, and the red flag and good luck, those are a few that are on the website. I read those, and God bless you. It's so wonderful because I think it is a universal experience. Sherry and I and Parviz, we've all been through this electronic online match.jew.love.com thing, and we have stories, and you try to recount the experiences to people, and somehow the horror doesn't come through the way that it needs to, but you captured it with just the title.
I think there probably needs to be a follow-on book where people are going to write in and tell you their stories.
Oh, yeah.
I could collect them probably.
Yes, you absolutely could. Years ago when we were doing this together, Robin and I both were out there on Match.com, we would have similar, recollections of stories, and Robin said, I've got to write a book, and I want to title it What Was I Thinking?
yes, that's a good title. I could definitely relate to that. I mean, some of the stories, because you meet people. See, I write about this in my book. It's like shopping for somebody because you're paying, you're going online. It's like a store where you say, maybe this one, maybe this one. What it does, and it's sort of an anti-internet dating book in a way, because what I'm saying is it takes away the serendipity of how we normally meet our mates. Because if you think about everybody who you've been involved with over your life, it happened when you never expected it. Because that's how it happens, right? And you go online, though, it's different. You're actually shopping for somebody. But I'll say this, though. It's still good because, if nothing else, it gives people another opportunity to have a place to meet people. So it's not bad. It's good it's there. I'm just saying that it's kind of a flawed system, and it's kind of a funny system. There are so many aspects to it. The big buzzword, chemistry. You guys know on the profiles, everybody writes about chemistry, right? And I'm thinking, God, this was my worst subject in high school. I mean, this was the bane of my high school existence, and now it defines my sexual and romantic life.
So you're saying you're single is what you're saying?
I am single. I wasn't in a relationship for 12 years, a long relationship. It didn't work out, but, that happens. But, so then I said, okay, now you're single. Everybody's trying the Internet. I was reluctant. I was reticent. My friends talked me into it. I said, okay. And, it was amazing. I remember one woman, and I was a very nice woman. She was Israeli, and she had been in the Israeli army. And so she was very uptight and guarded and serious. And in my book, I wrote, here's a woman that was on the front lines with Syria and Egypt and now was sitting across from perhaps her greatest enemy, a man who might want to have sex with.
Oh, very good.
So things like that. And you guys know, some of the conversations you have with people on the phone. I wrote to an Asian girl, and we talked on the phone, and she told me that on, I think it was on Match.com, that 23,000 men had looked at her profile. And I said, wow, that's an awful lot. And she said, not only that, 5,000 of those wrote me emails. And I'm thinking, well, that means 18,000 didn't write to you. So I wouldn't go around bragging about it. So it's little things like that. So it's stories about, and there are chapters about money and rejection and lying about your age, which is one of the biggest things.
That's the toughest. Mm-hmm. That's one of the toughest, because at the end of the day, that's a kind of lie that's hard to get away from.
So somebody once said the problem with telling a lie is that it's too hard to remember the truth.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. But see, I think one of the flaws in the system is that, and the reason why people lie about their age is, like, for example, say a guy's 47 years old, and a woman writes on her profile, "I'm looking for a guy 35 to 45. He writes to her, she probably won't write back because he's out of the, you know, out of the parameters.
Right.
Whereas if he met her at a party, that wouldn't even come up.
Right.
Right. See?
And so, you know, and so what happens is a guy or a girl who's 47, 48, I don't think it happens with younger, you know, with people in their 20s as much, because then age is, you know, who cares? But, you know, for people who are getting up there, they say, well, maybe I'll take 3 years off because, you know, all these people are saying 35 to 45, and so maybe instead of 48, I'll put 44 or 45. But, you know, it's a little lie, but then eventually, you know, something's got to give. Then the truth will have to come out, and, oh, you know, you're branded as a liar. But then again, you know, you're trying to get somebody to write back to you. So what do you think? I mean, the truth is the best policy, I guess.
I think it is the best policy, unless lying works better. And then...
whatever gets you the date,
And then I'm all for the lying part of it.
Whatever works is the best policy.
Yeah, I have, like you, what's interesting in my own short experience of going through the process was I was more disappointed when the reality didn't match up to whatever was in the profile than if the profile had been accurate in the first place. If the person was interesting, I think it would have been okay initially if they had said I'm older or this is a current picture or whatever it is. But Sherry and I have talked about it. I went on a date with a woman who was a musician, and she had a photograph, and I think it was a photograph of her in band camp. I mean, now later on, I figured that out. But when I saw her, I thought that must be her mom. As I was walking down the street, you know, that's what she'll look like when she gets older. And then I realized, oh my God, this is her. And you realize as you're walking down the street that they must see this look of surprise on your face, because I'm not that good a poker player. And I felt horrible. I thought, oh, crap.
Wasn't band camp the first giveaway?
Yeah. Yeah, Robin,
what is
come on.
Band camp? I don't even, you know, okay.
Might have been. I don't know.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. And part of it is, you know, the internet breeds the need for instant desire and chemistry. And
right.
You know, and because really, and you know, they talk about, Sherry, what do you think of this? They say men are too visual, right?
Right. But they are, you know, that's, women are too, I have to say.
I was going
to
say, yeah. I think it's equal, don't you?
I do.
Because, you see, both parties, when you have that first date, whether it's for coffee or whatever, look, let's face it, whether you're a man or a woman, You lay eyes on that person, and it's either yes or no, or something close to that. You know, you kind of know. And it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. That instant visuality is what drives it. And I think that's one of the problems, too. You know, you meet somebody at a party, yeah, you have the visual, but you also, you know, you're meeting in a more informal way. You start talking, and the personality comes out. But when you're meeting anonymously on the internet, it's all about that first sighting and, you know, what goes on with the...
Absolutely.
Emeralds.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But yet we continue to try, right? I mean, we don't give up. We keep diving back into the pool.
Yeah, you know, you get off like I did. You say, I've had enough of this. And 3 months later, you're back on.
Absolutely.
Back on scrolling and searching and you know, going out. And, you know, I have another woman that looked terrific. By the way, one of the things you got to watch out for is anybody with sunglasses on in the picture. You know, because I met somebody, she looked really good, she had sunglasses on, met her at a bar for a drink, it was Winston Churchill. I mean, what do you do? You know?
And beware of tight close-ups. That's what I learned.
Tight close-ups. What
tight
about
close-ups.
Pets? Why do people have pictures of their pets? If I wanted to go out with your dog, I would go to iwantadog.com.
I want to know why men pose in tank tops. Anytime, you know, this is silly. We all have our own filters and screens.
Oh,
anytime I see a man that posts a photo of him bare-chested or in a tank top, forget it. I don't know why.
And I think I've heard a lot of women say that, and it does beg the question, why don't these men know that women are going to laugh, scoff, and turn off to that?
No.
But I think there's a male, look, there's so many people, there's like 50 million people doing this on worldwide on all the sites.
Oh yeah.
So you're gonna get a little bit or a lot of everything.
Anyhow, we only asked you for a short amount of time. I feel like we've kept you longer than we promised to, Bobby, and so I don't want to hold you on any longer. But I want to thank you so very much.
Well, thanks to you. It's been a lot of fun
For joining us today. It's been great fun for us. Bobby Kelton, legendary comedian. I think we can still say legend. I don't mean that in any disparaging way. www.bobbykelton.com. People can find out where you're performing on your website, or are you just mostly doing corporate things these days? So you got the whole calendar up there?
Right, calendar, corporate things. I'll be playing basketball tomorrow. They could see that. anything you want to know about me, that's it. You know, even my parents, when they call me once a week, I say, go to my website.
I'm going to throw this in. It's a non-comedy question, but since you were a sports reporter and you're all about the basketball, the whole judging thing, I mean, you got a take on this? Is this ruined the game?
Well, let me tell you my take. It's been a bad week for sports because between that referee, Tim Conahee, and Michael Vick, they're actually giving Barry Bonds a good name.
That's why the commissioner of baseball came to San Francisco. He's like, this is the safest place to be.
Right, exactly. Who knows what's going on? It's crazy, but, you know, it's always something, you know, and gives people something to talk about. But the sports all survive.
They do. At the end of the day, I think the game is purer than any of the people that are involved in it.
Yeah, sure.
I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bobby.
Thanks,
Bobby.
It's been
a real pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, that was fun.
Outstanding. He was outstanding.
Wait. I hope maybe he'll come back when his book is published. That would be great.
That would be very nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. The website, I said before, www.bobbykelton.com, he's got, they're like essays.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell. I think they may just sort of be sort of short 1-2 page kind of essays, which would be great. But he's got three of them up there. Please Don't Let This Be Her. The Red Flag, great, and Good Luck. I mean, so just the titles.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
You can tell that this
That's
is someone
great.
Who's been through the battle and come out perhaps scathed, but also with a great sense of humor intact.
Yep.
So thanks to Bobby Kelton, and thanks to Jan Karam.
Yeah.
Once again, basically being executive producer of Schnauzer Logic and helping us to get some great guests.
Great.
And that, as they say, is that...
Safini.
A show... Did you have fun?
I did, even though I had to slip out for a little while.
That's all right. You slipped out. You slipped back in. Parviz slipped out. Parviz isn't here.
There's Poor just Parviz. A little empty chair.
There is a little empty chair.
Is he okay?
Yeah. He had a good time. What he said to me during the last break was, sometimes less is more of me.
Then my job is done.
You hear that, Meredith?
Oh, that's great.
There
was some pretty heavy chuckling going on, though. I could hear... from the door, so you must have been having a good time.
We always have a good time.
Yep.
Parviz is great. We love him. I mean, one of the things that's wonderful about Parviz is he doesn't take himself seriously, and so you can poke fun at him and vice versa, right? So that's what makes it really so wonderful. So let's see. We gave the website out 127 times. We told you that we managed to get Ken Turetsky, a Jewish nose doctor, so that's good. The website's back up again.
Nosenbaum, was that?
Yeah. Moses.
Moses Nosenbaum.
Yeah. So we got that going. What else do I need to tell you? I'm looking through the papers here.
I know, this is a good
show. I think we kind of did.
It's a wrap.
I think it's kind of a wrap. Tomorrow? I don't know. Friday is...
I'm going to Giants game tomorrow.
You are?
Yes, I am.
How exciting.
I know, with my daughter.
Oh, very nice.
We're meeting in San Francisco.
I don't
think
he's playing tonight.
Okay, good.
I don't think he's playing tonight, so he'll probably be playing tomorrow, yeah.
Good, because apparently where we're sitting is the visitor section for Bond, you know, right near Bond's...
Oh, are you sitting in the outfield?
Yeah, it's the AT&T box or something. I don't know. So I'll have to look
Is it right over the car? Is it Bond squad?
It's Bond squad.
It's the Bond squad. Yeah. So that's the outfield right on the field. That's basically left field.
Yes.
Cool.
So I'm supposed to bring my mitt.
Bring a mitt
and
throw him a kiss.
I will.
Tell him the guys at Schnauzer Logic love him. I was talking to my cousin, Jeffrey, who's from Seattle. He's a litigator. I love him. I wish I spent more time with him because he and I are of such a like mind. And we were talking about baseball, which he loves as well. And he said to me, you know, how is it going in San Francisco to the team? You know, how the hometown fans treating Bonds? It's like, you don't understand. This is like ancient Rome. This is ancient Greece. He is our hero. And so you support your hero because he is the standard bearer for your team. You forgive him the infidelities and indiscretions. That's what you do with a hero.
Mm-hmm.
That's why heroes are hard to find. Except on NBC coming this fall. Yeah. I don't know. Anyhow, thanks so much to Parviz Vitali for sitting in. Thanks so much to Jason Nathanson, Sean Meehan down in Los Angeles. Bobby Slayton, great guest.
No, not Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Felton. Bobby Kelton. We'll have to cut that out before
Please
we send him a copy
Let's
of the tape.
Let's do this again.
Bobby Slayton
Thank
should
you
be
Bobby
coming up.
Kelton.
Bobby Kelton. Bobby Kelton.
He rocked.
We need to get Bobby Slayton. We'll have like a Bobby off.
Yeah.
Next week, J. Keith Van Stratton.
Who's he?
We talked about it at the beginning of the show. He is a stand-up comedian. Best week ever.
What am I thinking? Of course
I don't
know
what you're thinking. So, yeah. So we're going to have him on next week. Probably have him be... He wants to do the early in the show. So we'll probably start a little bit early next week and then kind of cut in the break during
cool.
the... You guys, of course, out there don't need to know that because it won't really matter to you. And there you go. So to all of you who listen to the show every week, thank you so very much. Continue to listen. Tell your friends. Go to the iTunes Music Store. We'd love that kind of rating. Join us over on myspace.com/nowslogic. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. That comes from Angelus Ari, and the book is The Fourfold Way. It's kind of indigenous culture. Go to Amazon.com. Get a copy of the book. You could do worse. And we'll see you next week. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.